Welcome back to Christian Discernment, and there is the discernment about relationships, talk about that worldview. Today we're going to talk about common sense discernment.
Common sense is learned thinking and behavior. In other words, you don't get common sense generally from just reading about it.
Okay.
You can get it from listening to others and being mm-hmm. teachable.
Right.
But a lot of common sense is learned through
trial and error.
Yeah,
yeah.
You learn that, you know, if you do this, it hurts. If
right.
you do that, it goes well. And
right.
over, you know, now sometimes it takes a while to learn these things.
Right.
And so we typically say someone has common sense when they learn quickly.
Right.
Other people take a long time and they keep doing the same thing that hurts them and they keep doing it over and over and over again.
In this one too, as ministers over the years, we've seen a lot, we have theories, you know, philosopher's theories on how does a kid get common sense and a kid does not get common sense. Now, in my case, you know, my father worked hard, my mother was gone in the factory, but my mother and dad believed that I would, like, do well. So, in a lot of ways, I learned a lot of stuff, but my parents believed that I was sharp and smart, you know, so confident.
But did they also let you do stuff?
Yeah.
And did they spend a lot of time rescuing you?
They kept me away from the huge,
yeah.
like, problem.
Yeah, we're going to let a 10-year-old play in the middle of the road.
I think I got to be 10 in the middle of the road. I mean, I was in a small town in Wisconsin,
right.
okay? So I get all that. But there was a sense of yeah. there's an art to communicating to your children how to develop common sense, too.
Right. I think it's, you know, in part, you give your children responsibility and then you let them experience the consequences of their actions.
Right.
So if they take responsibility, they get rewarded. If they drop the ball, they, you know, suffer the consequences of that. But parents that are always rescuing their children,
right.
see, the kid never learns what's a good thing and what's the difference
and
between
and confidence and confidence
yes.
to deal with failure. One thing my father and mother, my dad failed a lot in his life, but he always showed me
right.
that you learn in failure.
Right.
Well, that's how you get common sense.
Yes. Yes.
Very, very interesting.
All right. Why do we have to discern common sense?
Hmm. That's interesting. Why do we have to? I think in a lot of ways, common sense is a tool. It's almost creational. It's in us. It's from the mind God has created in us to be able to analyze options and to find best options that serve God, serve our self-interest, and serve our spouse and our family.
Right. I think, too, to reflect, you know, part of common sense is, you know, reflecting on life. What happened here?
Right.
Why am I struggling in this arena of
right.
life? If you never look back and say, what happened here, you're never going to learn from your own experience.
Well, that's that first point. Why do we need to discern common sense? Because often people are not teachable
right.
in general,
right.
and we ourselves can be unteachable
right.
about something. And there's almost like a rebellion inside of us that we have to fight,
right.
be teachable no matter
right.
what.
Right. And part of that is we don't take the time to reflect. Reflection
yeah.
is not like an art these days.
Right. The relationship between cause and effect is blurred.
Yeah, that's, I guess, what I'm talking about, where you touch a hot stove, immediately you feel the pain.
Right.
And so there's the cause. I touched this, and now there's the experience after that, and there's a cause between those two.
Right.
But a lot of children today are being raised in a world where they can't see cause and effect. For example, you know, iPads and computers
right.
and so on. You're touching something and you're making things happen, but you don't really see what's going on behind
it's
it.
It's illusionary.
It's an illusion. And there's more and more, so much of life is like, I think, hard to understand how this does this.
Right.
This. So if I study I get a good grade.
Right.
Well, some kids don't have that connection. They don't see the connection between those two, and so why do it?
Right, or the connection between recognition, or the saving money, understanding how...
Right, that if you save the money, then you'll have the money. If you don't, then you won't. And then this is what happens in your life, and then you're under the pressure, and you're always behind. And if you just get ahead once, you could stay ahead the whole time.
Right. Yeah. Too much reliance on experts. What is that about?
Well, you know, yeah, people will tell you this is how it is, but there's so many competing experts.
Right.
Which expert? I mean, even when you go to, for example, Amazon and you want to buy something, there's somebody that gives it 5 stars and somebody that gives it 1 star. So which expert are you going to listen to? It's so confusing these days. And so common sense says you rely on your experience.
Right.
How, you know, you've been doing something. Is that going well or is it? So again, it's being able to evaluate and reflect on your own experiences, whether something's working or not.
1 Corinthians 10, verse 23, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. In a sense, this is a prime common sense verse. If you just took this verse and applied it to your experience every day, it would start teaching you common sense.
Is this constructive?
Yes.
If you were to stop and go, okay, was my day constructive? Was the things I did today constructive? Was my how I treated my wife? You know, a lot of people in their relationship to their spouse, they're grumpy, they're always demanding, or they're ignoring, or whatever, and then they wonder why their marriage isn't great.
Right.
But all you need to do is stop and go, reflect. Okay, now, being sarcastic with my wife, what happened as a result of that?
Yes.
Does that go well, or does that not go well?
Right.
And then I learned something from that. Maybe I should stop with the sarcasm with my wife.
Right. Actually, a common sense mentality is good in general. It will affect all your discernment.
Right. Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Common sense in all the areas of your life, your personal life, your relationships with others, your work, your ministry, all these areas. And again, it's learning on the job, learning as you go.
And learning quickly.
I mean, it just, okay, for example, like when I first got into ministry, when I planted a church in Vancouver, I started doing outlines.
Right.
Okay? Now, I had to learn from experience, like I had fill in the blanks.
Right.
And
I remember that.
In one of my sermons, I had way too many blanks.
Right.
Right? But I only realized that because after I did it a couple of weeks, I'm looking around and I'm reflecting on this. People are, it's like I'm burdening them with too many blanks.
Right.
So then I would have too few.
Right.
And then I saw that people weren't engaged because there weren't enough.
Enough, right.
And over, I would say, maybe 2-3 months, but I had to reflect on it. I finally figured out the optimal thing. The other thing I learned was if I have a blank to fill in and I have you fill it in, I can't go on for 10 more minutes.
Right.
That people think we're close to being done. I have two minutes.
Yeah.
You fill in the last. Now, how did I learn that? I didn't learn that from reading about that. I learned that from being aware, like reflecting on stuff. So whether it's ministry, whether it's work, or whether it's relationships around you, whether it's your own walk with God, it just takes a little bit of reflecting on what am I doing and what are the results of what I'm doing.
You know, I think that is a good matrix for so much leadership development is, Lord, and I pray, Lord, help me only have to learn something once.
right.
You know, and again, sometimes, sadly, I have to learn something twice or three times.
Right.
But get to that place where you put your ego out of the way.
Why do we sometimes not? Why do we resist this? I mean, why do we have to get beaten on the head 10 times before it will change?
I think pride.
Okay.
I think there's also we don't want to change.
Right.
Or we're not confident to change.
Right, so we'd rather keep doing the thing that doesn't work because we know it than try something new that we don't know.
Right. Like we're safe and comfortable in what we know.
Even
and we will take limited, you know.
Yeah.
And because common sense shows us that sometimes it's better to be safe.
Yeah.
So, in a sense, it's like to know the difference again, you know?
So I'll keep ordering the same thing from this restaurant because it's good, and I don't want to take any chances on getting it worse. Right? Because that might
happen.
That's a common sense. Right? The problem is I'm doing something that's not working well. My marriage isn't working well. But if I change, it could even get worse.
Right. Oh, here's an example. Let's say there is an elephant in the room. We've talked about them. But if you address the elephant in the room, you first have to go through the tunnel of chaos to actually get the elephant addressed.
Right.
Yeah, so what you do is you stay away from the elephant in the room because you can cope at a lesser coping place.
Right. I think that's a good word. A lot of us spend most of our lives coping instead of grabbing onto the best it could be.
Yes.
Because the best it could be sometimes is harder, and you have to go through some difficulties to get there. So let's just settle.
Right.
For a mediocre marriage, a mediocre family, mediocre job, mediocre ministry, rather than working towards something better.
And we don't judge you. We're going to pick on this. I mean, some of you live in a very abusive relationship, and that's your only option.
Right.
You have responsibilities. You have children involved, possibly. I know in counseling, you know, a woman will come and she is in a very abusive relationship. She has children involved. And anytime she tries to deal with the elephants in the room, it creates pain for her and her kids.
Yeah.
And she's praying about it, and she's hoping that the Lord will deliver. So her common sense is, you know, that's who I married right now, and I'm trying to figure this out a little bit. So common sense says, don't poke the bear.
Right.
You know, we even have phrases in common sense.
I think that's interesting too. Yeah.
Don't poke the bear.
Right.
Or where's some of those other phrases? It'd be interesting to think of some. They're just common sense. My dad.
Well, Proverbs are sort of that way. Proverbs are very, common sense kinds of things.
Yeah, listen before you speak.
Yeah.
Why do they have, two ears and one mouth?
They're
just common sense type of things.
Yes.
So let's talk about personally. Personally, really, common sense is a journey.
Right. You're not just born with it. It's a learned behavior.
Proverbs 2, verse 10, for wisdom will enter your house and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men with words whose words are perverse.
Right. So wisdom, in some ways wisdom comes from experience.
Mm-hmm.
But it also spiritually can be revealed to you.
Yes.
That sometimes it's not just our own experience that teaches us wisdom.
Right.
But God reveals something to you
that
was sort of in the shadows before.
Right. Right. So,
common sense applies to your relationships.
Hmm. Who you hang around with and why. That's interesting. 1 Corinthians 5:9-11. I have written you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people, not at all meaning people of the world who are immoral or the greedy or swindlers or adulterers. In that case, you would have to leave the world. But I am writing to you that you must not associate with anyone who calls himself a brother but is sexually immoral, greedy, adulterer, or a slanderer, a drunkard, or a swindler. With such men, do not even eat. Now, what has this to do with common sense?
Well, when you're talking about relational common sense, who you hang out with has a lot to do with your spin on the world.
Right.
And if you hang around with people that are always getting into trouble, I suppose who you hang around with either puts blinders on your eyes in terms of common sense or enlightens you and helps you with common sense.
Right.
So you hang around with people who have no common sense, guess what's going to happen to you?
And here's an elephant in the room in the whole world of dating. We've been getting into matchmaker ministers and everything. And one of the things the professor on matchmaking talks about is the common sense of selecting a partner to marry someone who shares your values, because her observation in this whole process that to not do that, it's called unequal yoke.
Yeah, the Bible calls it that. Yeah,
yeah,
which is common sense.
Well, right.
Don't be unequally yoked. I mean, it comes from the oxen pulling the cart.
Right.
And when one is bigger or pulling stronger than the other, the cart goes crooked.
Right.
So That's what happens in a relationship, too, if you're unevenly yoked.
So people will make major decisions about who they may spend their life with on very flimsy and superficial reasons, not taking common sense in there as if that's not a factor.
Right.
So common sense in picking a spouse is huge.
Yeah.
It's not just like, I felt a certain romance or her looks and everything.
Right.
Now, again, somebody may say, well, I would never do that. Well, go at your own peril.
Yes.
No doubt.
Common sense applied to work.
This is an interesting passage of Jesus talking to his disciples. Luke 16, verse 8 and 9, the master commanded the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly, for the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself, so when it is gone, you may be welcomed to eternal dwellings. So if you have been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches?
Right.
Hmm.
Yeah. So, again, a lot of us want God to bless us more than we are now blessed. You know, I want to make more money.
Right.
I want to make more opportunity. We look around and we see others who are doing better, and we want more.
Right.
But this verse suggests, and it's just common sense.
Right.
If you're not handling what you have right now well.
Right. Not learning from failure.
Yeah.
Getting by, learning, growing.
Yep. If you're not a great steward of the money you now have, then why would God bless you with more money that now you have a bigger problem than you did before?
Right.
So common sense says, and, you know, and this principle really could be applied to almost
anything. Wisdom says
that you be faithful with what you have. So this applies to ministry too. Some of you probably are a little frustrated with your ministry opportunities. You're studying, you're learning, you're growing, and so you want to be used, and you're like frustrated that everyone in your church or everyone in your sphere of influence isn't asking you to preach or lead Bible studies or whatever it might be. And you're frustrated with that. Well, why don't you just be faithful with the little piece that you have right now?
Right.
You know, we want sometimes, you know, I see people wanting to start a ministry and they want to write a book and they want to, well, why don't you just start by mentoring one person?
Right.
Or coaching somebody. Or studying one little Bible study. In other words, start with what is right in front of you. You don't need permission from someone else. You don't need the whole church on board with whatever it is that you want to do. You're just going to start small. You're going to start small with what's in front of you. You're going to be faithful with what you have. And then when you prove yourself genuine and trustworthy with that, perhaps God will give you more.
I often find that the little things make the huge differences. I remember years ago, 20 years ago, there was a guy in our church who was a very wealthy contractor. So one time I was in the car with him, and we drove by, he showed me a little, really nice-looking, very little house of, like, one bedroom, so small. And he said, isn't that a cute house? He was joking with me. I said, yeah, it is. He said, well, when I was 22, I bought that house for $6,000, and and I spent my nights there, and the house was really a teardown and everything, but it's all the money I had, and I went in there and I fixed it, and I worked, you know, with like my little lamb, you know, I took care of it, and then after it was all done, I sold it for like $10,000 or whatever, or I don't know what the number was, and I made $5,000 or $6,000, and then I took that, and but it was sort of like when he bought it, it was so little,
right?
You know. And he even said, when I bought it, people laughed at me. And they said, you're going to buy that little shack? That was an old, old Charles, whatever, used to live there. And that guy was, he let it all run down. But he went in there and he did it.
Yeah.
But he said, that was the common sense to me. And I learned in that thing.
Right.
And the principles I learned in doing that little shed of a house.
Right.
Have now translated and helping me do everything I do today.
That's why in Timothy, Paul says, if you haven't been faithful with your own family, then who's going to trust you with the church?
Right. Right.
So you start with what you have. Lead your own family. Maybe you want to be a preacher. You want to plant a church or whatever it is. Well, start with what's in front of you.
Well, that's that last thing, is to have common sense in ministry.
Right.
It really starts in your own home.
It starts in your own home. It starts with your own relationship to God. If you're not even walking with God, if you can't handle that responsibility,
right,
then how are you going to handle, leading a church?
Right. So if you really reduce this talk to just a few, thoughts. So here's some of the thoughts I have. One is being teachable quickly.
Yeah.
So that's one thought.
Yes.
What else are some of the thoughts as we wrap it up here?
I think it be teachable, and common sense takes time.
Yeah. So in other words, remember what Rich DeVos used to say. He said, Henry, Steve, this is in the mentorship. I said, well, you look back, where are some of your great decisions? You or I asked him that question. He thought a little bit, and he said, it wasn't any one decision. It was just making a lot of good decisions.
Yeah,
Learning
from the bad decisions.
Yeah, that's what he said. And then learning from the bad decisions, he made better decisions. And in the end, then they all stack up.
Yeah. Little by little.
Little by little. And there's a passage about if you try to grow something,
little by little,
make it grow.
Rather than dishonest gain. Because a lot of times, people want to get rich quick.
Yeah. Or
they want to get smart quick. They want to succeed fast. They want to... Yeah. Most things come little by little.
When CLI started the first year, it was six people. And some of my friends who were in some of the school circles, six people. Yeah. And it really, two did anything.
Right.
The next year, 20. Right. And then over a time now, tens of hundreds of thousands of people are enrolled. But everything that to get here, and even go back, you and I, our relationship, and go back, we tried this, we tried this, but we learned that from there. Yeah. It is fascinating how... Today, some of the learnings that we did in the early days
come back.
It's like, we learned, and that relates a lot to what we're doing now. Yeah.
So nothing is wasted. Whether it's good or bad, you can learn from either thing. So, and that's part of why people don't change, is they don't want to face the bad. They don't want to admit that they were going down the wrong trail for 20 years. But why not?
Why not?
I mean, after 20 years, you learned a different direction, and you go in it. It's better than going for 25 years. So don't worry about, we all do the wrong thing. We all go down some wrong trails. But if we can learn something from it and turn around and make a better decision, I don't regret anything that happened in my life.
No.
Good or bad, because God uses all of it.
Right.
Every single thing that happens.
And maybe that's really one more thing that we could say, is the providence of God in it all.
Yeah.
That there is... a purpose to it, and through the Holy Spirit we learn and grow, and we don't know, cast your bread upon the waters,
right,
and you don't know which will come back,
right. Well, so God has a plan, and so reflect on the things that are happening in your life, and then go forward.
Sounds great. Go for it.